Get started. Good evening and thank you for coming. What we would like to tell you today is some of the facts about the original settlers of the town of Mamakating. And there, and his name was Manuel Gonzalez, and right there in the brown shirt is one of his descendants.
Wow.
That came down from, where are you from, Jerry?
Does it look like the rich one?
Where are you coming from?
I'm from Binghamton.
Binghamton. And he's a part of our historical society, so we're really glad to have Jerry as part of us. I've taken a lot of my information from the histories and the genealogy of the Gonzalez family. And you'll notice, the first thing we notice, Gonzalez is spelled many ways. It can, it's just like Glitches, they spell it. And then after his name, you'll always see D-O-L-S, D-U-K, or D-U-C-K. Nobody really knows the reason why. There's different theories. Some say it means royalty. Some of them say that it's his mother's maiden, part of his mother's maiden name. And the one they say the most is that D-O-L-F could mean minor. And he really, every place Manuel Gonzalez went, he liked the mines. You know, so that they think that that's probably why he put that, but it's on every document has that after his name. Excuse me. I'm going to start and tell you there's a big controversy about who were the first settlers of Mamakating. At one time, Mamakating ran all the way from above Kingston all the way down to the Delaware River. That was called the ancient town of Mamakating. And back in 1699, there were a group of men who came over. They were Swedes, and they came over, and they were here to mine. But they didn't really stay here. They more moved from, they did all the mountains. They were even here in Mamakating. Oh, again, this crazy voice here. And they were hoping to find gold and silver in the mountains, and they mined them, but they only found, most of the mines contained lead, copper, and zinc. And then they found fool's gold, and they carted it all the way back to Europe, only to find out that it was worthless. So they didn't stay here to make a settlement along the river. It was thought by historians that the colony of Minisink was there in 1659, but when Schuller came here in his journal, he mentions nothing about white inhabitants except those that are trapping and mining, so they weren't staying in one spot. It says in Quinlan's book, he had the following paragraph says that the original white settlers of the old town of Mamakating were Jacob Cuddyback, Thomas Swartout, Anthony Swartout, Bernard Swarthouse, Jay Ties, Peter Gamor and David Jamson, who in 1697 obtained a pattern of 1,200 acres in the Peapack Valley at a place called
Wagamahock.
And
something like that.
They were the principal French Protestants who fled from their native country, and these men did not become permanent residents. And we find that in 1728, the freeholders consisted of Herman Bartons, Evan Widgeon, Peter Gamor, John Van Fleet, Samuel Swartout, Bernard Swarthouse, and Jacob Cuddyback. Here is the original. We are so lucky to have this. It came in our collection from the man that left us, Hurry. And this is the original document that they had for that 1,200 acres. Later you can look at it, it's on leather. And I did a copy of it here, but this is the original document that was done in 1699.
And they gave you that?
Huh? Yeah, they gave it to me, Bob. I said, can I have a copy, please? Well, when you sign it. I think it's fun to see these old documents and see the signatures of people that you've heard in the history of the area. And then on all these, there's old deeds here, and you'll see all the early settler signatures. They labored at the Shawangunk mine in Mamakating, but they didn't stay here. So when they abandoned the mines, they abandoned the country. So we know that Manuel Gonzalez is said to be the first settler in the Monocotton Hollow, as it was known then, along with Manuel Sr. His son Manuel Jr. also came. They built a log cabin, and Manuel Jr. stayed and raised his family here. I have the original deed. It's on the first thing, not the original, but a copy of the original showing that he was the first person to buy property here. I think that one of the things I like to say is that they always think that buried in the cemetery, this stone is Manuel Sr., but as I talk, you'll realize Manuel Sr. never lived here. His son was here and raised his family and stayed here. So that probably is Manuel Gonzalez Jr. who stayed here. And then, of course, like I said, it was a long township, the town of Mamakane. It was called Mamakane Hollow, but it really wasn't official, so we have to say that what is now the town of Mamakane is where the first settlers were. Of course, we had a road that ran, I'm sure you've all heard of the Old Mine Road, and that ran from Eustis all the way down into Delaware. And the Indians and the first settlers, traders, used that road all the time. That was the only way they could get back and forth into the valley. So Manuel Jr. came, he built a log cabin, and he built a trading post here. And back then it wasn't known as, in 1682 it was called the Path of the Great Valley. In 1737 it was called the Old Mine Road. 1770 it was the Good Eustis Road, later referred to as King's Highway, the Queen's Highway, the National Trail, and now it's just 209. In 1663, during the Eustis War, white prisoners were brought here by the Indian to the territory, and soldiers came here and punished them. And after the war, the Indians were very calm, very easy to get along with. They settled here. They had Council Hill, which is across from the airport. That they were very good until the French and Indian War. Manuel Sr. was the first of his family in this country, and it's believed he was born in Spain in 1660, and he came into Dutchess County, possibly through the Netherlands. In the early days, he had been reported in many places, and then into Rochester Township. It's believed he was a member of Captain Garrett Tunis's military company of Kingston in 1689. He lived in Kingston and in Marbletown. He married Marjorie David Van Leuven in Kingston in 1693, who was the widow of Andreas Van Leuven, and they had three children. The first child was Manuel Jr., that was baptized in Marbletown. Francisco Gonzalez was baptized, and Rebecca. They were his three children. They think that his first wife died in 1707 from the birth of her last child's birthday. They no longer talk about her. Then he remarried Rebecca Westfall in 1709, who was the daughter of Johannes Westfall and Major Cool in Albany County. Now, he had nine children with this wife. And most of them were born in either Albany County or they were born in Marbletown. None of them were born in the town of Mamakane at all. Manuel moved back to Dutchess County at Crom Elbow Precinct. He bought land in 1739 in Dutchess County, and this may be when he moved back to Dutchess County. And it's there that his will on January 27th, 1952, and it says he's weak and sick, but of perfect mind and memory and perfect understanding sounded good. This will was never recorded in New York State, but it is recorded in Dutchess County. And that's why they believe that if he was so ill in January of 1952, it's pretty possible he didn't come here at 17. Yes, sorry about that. I'm always but he was ill at the time. And that they feel that he didn't come here to die and be buried here, because this is where he died in the great nine patent, and this is where Mammoth Caving is, and it's across the river. So chances are that he didn't come here to die. His first child, Manuel and his wife. Manuel was born in Marbletown in 1694. His father purchased property in Ulster County at the foot of Hussey Hill. It's right outside of Kingston. And again, it had mines on it. Wherever the Gonzaleses settled, they seemed to like to be where there were mines, because they liked to poke around in them. And he bought the property, and he immediately turned it over to his son after he bought it. And he bought it for £60, 120 acres of land on the 25th of July, 1727, which land lay 100 chains west of the, this is the property now in Mammoth Caving. The property he bought runs west of the Indian Tapa Wigwam. It was far up the valley of the Roundout and must have been in the vicinity of the spot near Wurzburg that we're speaking of. And you all know, I'm sorry I didn't say it, but you know that his grave is at where the airport is, and that's approximately where his house and his trading post was. And the special feature, again, is that the man's notice in the deed that there's a right to the minerals on the tract. I think they always thought that maybe they were going to be very rich one time, if they could, you know, find what they were looking for. Manuel Jr. married Renee Quick in Kingston on September 25th, 1719, and they had 9 children. And he's the one that built the log cabin and a sawmill along the Gamore Brook. His tavern was a very popular place for people that were coming up and down this trail, because it was about halfway between the Delaware River and Usophus. Manuel had a son, Manuel, and he also had a son, Daniel. And what happened is Daniel, he was born in 1724, but in 1757, him and another friend went to go into by Wurzburg, and they were near a spring on 209, and they stopped to drink, and the Indians attacked them. His friend was killed immediately. The Indians heard the dogs from the fort, so they ran, and he got back to the fort, but he died within that day. The Lenape Indians. I think there were a couple of different kinds of Indians at this point, because they weren't violent until the French and Indian War, and the French got them riled up again, because it was very peaceful in the valley until the French Indian War was there. And what happened was, at the same time he was killed, Michael Helms got killed down here by where the pull-off is after the airport, and he was the father of Peter Helms, who married one of the Gonzales people. They were both killed that day. While in Windfalls, I found this information in the genealogy of Shorter and Shutter, who were descendants of Van Fleet. Sarah Bever was the daughter of Jonathan Bever and Rachel Levan. After the death of Rachel, Johannes Bever married Elizabeth Van Fleet Gonzalez, widow of Daniel Gonzalez and son of Manuel Jr. So now becomes the stepfather of Manuel Gonzalez, the son of Daniel, and then becomes the father-in-law of Manuel when Manuel marries his daughter Sarah. So some genealogy trees need orchards. They kind of all got intermingled there.
Can you hold it just for me?
Yes.
Excuse me.
Am I kind of...
Well, you're stuttering a little bit.
Yeah, I am.
Senior, Emmanuel Senior married Van Hogan, so his junior's mother was Dutch. Okay.
Yes, they all married Dutch girls.
Okay. It's like his origin was born over the
They say they think he came from Spain, but he came through the Netherlands. Some people will say he was Dutch, but he wasn't. He was definitely came through Spain.
With a name like mine,
you have to remember that the Spanish Empire actually controlled the Netherlands for much of the 17th century. Right. So it's quite possible that there could be a sort of Germanic interpretation of an old Spanish name.
Yeah. And there's no record of who his parents were. So there's no way to know, you know, what his mother was or his father.
Was he Catholic then, I would assume?
It doesn't say that. No, it more says that. It really doesn't say his religion. I would guess he was Dutch, from the Dutch church, because most people in that area in that time were from the Dutch Reformed Church.
It's possible that it could have been a Sephardic Jew, because the Jews were driven out of Spain in the 17th century, and a lot of them went to the Netherlands, which was an open society. So who knows?
Then could he have been Londinu?
That's
another story. Research that we had done years ago indicated that the Gonzaleses were Jewish, Sephardic Jews. That was a long time ago.
I haven't seen that. And have you, Jerry? No. This is a Gonzales here, and he does the Jew.
And that was signed by Richard Beatty and the people in Wurzburg when we did the bicentennial in the set in the.
I've never seen that at all. I've never seen that.
See if I can find any of it.
I read somewhere that was the case.
They were escaping the Spanish Inquisition.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what they're
doing. The Spanish Inquisition did.
Right. The Londinu were Spanish Jews.
Okay. I've never ever heard that part of it. Even when Mr. Hasbrook did it, he didn't bring
that. Yeah, I got Michael. Lean most of mine from Hasbrook.
Yeah, and he's just.
The furthest I can go back, three brothers from Holland, Dutch Indies Company, they're merchants. They jumped ship in the New Netherlands, ended up in jail. After jail, the three brothers, Dutchess County, what was it called back then? Port Orange, Albany, Kingston, which is another name too. And I think that's documented in court records. If you can read Dutch.
Check in. But that's all interesting information, because he is quite a man that everybody has a lot of, you know, thinking about what he was and where he came from. But I don't think he was, Dutch at all. You know, I guess if he stayed, you know, in Holland, but I don't think his originality was from.
You said it was a fortune.
Fort Devens?
Yeah.
Okay, I was going to read that later. That's another big discussion. Yeah. Where exactly was Fort Devens? Pat Barone always said it was where her house was. When we read it was a stone, small building. They say now that wasn't a fort. There's no signs. I did see the foundation was open when I talked at the airport, and it had very thick stone walls, the foundation, but I think now they bulldoze it in, so we probably will never know where.
So on the airport property?
Huh?
On the airport property?
Yes,
property.
Yes.
Yeah, they haven't filled in the foundation.
Well, they haven't filled it in because they were starting.
It looked like they buried the debris. Mm-hmm. I wasn't here, so I don't know. It was shocked when I heard the loss of land.
Yes.
But it looks like small, big stones. Now, if this upper level was stone, who knows?
Well, it wasn't a very big fort. It wasn't like we're thinking Fort Westbrook.
Right, small.
They said it was a very small stone building. So it could have almost been like not too far above the ground. I think the main purpose was to protect people, you know, when they were there. So we have no picture of it. The only thing everybody knows is a sign that's on the highway that's where Fort Devens was. Manuel Gonzalez built his, you know, it was near his home, but nobody has any idea whether that's really the fort. Only Pat Barone always said it was.
Were you ever inside the building?
No, but we were, the cellar's open now.
The walls are still up for that fort, they're in that building.
Well, the building's gone.
The building is built around the fort, I've seen it. That took me in.
Well, it was, it's destroyed now. They took it right down to the foundation. So
the house is gone?
Yes.
Yeah, they burnt it right there.
So we really will never be able to tell what it might have looked like or if it was really the fort. But the same day Daniel Gonzalez and his companion were shot, Michael Helm was killed. Michael Helm was the father of Peter Helm, who married Elizabeth Gonzalez, the daughter of Manuel III. Two companions of Michael Helm were saved and escaped the raid, but Michael Helm had wanted to go on that evening, but everyone said, no, don't leave, because the Indians will get you at night. So he decided to stay, but what the Indians did is they went ahead of them. And they waited, they stayed at the fort, and then the Indians attacked them right down here by where that parking area is. But the girl and Mr. Depew, the other man with them, did get away. And there is a sign, if you've ever seen it, it's sitting down there and tells about it. The Devons farm was next to the Gonzalez property. And there's very little said about it. The Devons, except for the fact that they used the property for the fort. Some say the present building here was built on the fort, but no one knows for sure. And the only information I could get was on the computer was they lived in Mamikaning. And I got it off the Devons genealogy. And in 1759, but in 1784, they went back to Niagara, Canada because they were afraid, because they were British. And it was a time that they feared for their safety, so because they were loyalists of the king. So they went back. Mrs. Lips, who was a daughter of Johannes Maston, who was also one of the early settlers, came to the valley where he bought 1,000 acres of land from Elias and Moses Miller. Soon after the French and Indian War, he had been a native of Kingston. Mrs. Lips says that at the time they came to Mamikaning, Peter Helm owned the land of the Devons, and the Devons fort was built around his house, and that soldiers were stationed there during the Revolution. These murders were after 1757 because the Devons fort was not built until that year. The fort along with Fort Rosa and Westbrookville were built to protect the people in this area, and they stayed in the fort that night. That's the story, and the Indians had killed them. Another son was Benjamin, and he may have died young because we hear nothing about him. Joanna, born in Marbletown, Joanna, he married Pert Quick in Newtown, Sussex County, and it's thought that he died in Sussex County, New Jersey. Elizabeth was the daughter of Manuel Gonzalez, and she was captured by the Indians. When she was 7 years old, she went to the barn to get some milk, and she didn't come back, and they didn't know whether she wandered off in the farm, you know, in the woods, and they kept looking for her, and they couldn't find her. And so it was like 20 years later, her father heard. Now, there must have been something that she, whether she was disabled or she had a certain marking, he got wind that his daughter was down near Harrisburg, Pennsylvania with an Indian tribe. And so he traveled down there and he found her. And he brought her back 20 years later. And they say that she knew the farm immediately when she saw it and a lot of things she said. So they were very sure that it was her that they had brought back. Maria married Johannes Van Etten May 18th in Napanock, and she died in 1776, the birth of her last child. Jacob is the first Gonzalez to be born in the town of Mamikaning, and then it was Ulster County. And he died in 1787 on his farm in Miffin County, Pennsylvania. He married Sarah Westbrook in Sussex County, New Jersey. Now Samuel, he's a pretty colorful fella. Samuel was born in Minisink, but Quinlan says he was born in Mamikaning. So that's a little question too, in 1736. So if this is true, he would have been the first child born. And he died in Wurtsboro, November 20th, 1821. He married Elizabeth Van Fleet. He was one of the most known children of Manuel Jr. He had a son, Daniel, James Henry Benjamin, and a daughter, Elizabeth. He was one-time overseer of the poor in Wartsboro, and he had an Indian experience too. He was a good scout, and he purchased, and I have the deed to it, he purchased land on, you all know, Sam's Point.
Right.
Well, he was up there, and the Indians were chasing him, and he knew his area pretty good, so he got to the end of the rock, and he jumped off. And the Indians thought he died, so they left him alone. But he owned quite a bit of land over that mountain, and like his father, he liked to mine. He was looking for gold and silver. It also says he became a Tory in the War of the Revolution and joined the Indians of Butler and Brant. He was supposedly with Ben DeWitt, Shanks Ben, and killed people in the area. He died in Wartsboro near Obet Van Duzer's house, 1.5 miles west of Wartsboro, on November 20th, 1821, at the age of 88. Old age, oh, and I have, somebody said that he was with the Indians when they raided this party, and the man's name was Mentz. And Mentz thought if he left his wife and her father that he would take pity on an old man and a young girl. So he ran, hoping to save them, and the Indians killed him. And he swears that Samuel Gonzalez was with the Indians that day that he killed him. And they said that he went off into the woods, Mentz, for 18 months. And he came back, and every time he saw Samuel, he was like very angry, but he could never prove that he had taken up with the Indians. And so they, it wasn't Mentz's rifle that put an end to his life. He was a strong man, even in his 60s. And Captain Vaughn of Monticello, known to be the strongest man around here, decided he was going to arrest him for that murder. And he came in, and when he grabbed him, he took the sheriff and he spun him around in a circle. And the sheriff went out grumbling, but he came back and then he spun him twice as hard. And they said the sheriff never bought him again. He just died of old age because no one could bring him down at all. Now, Daniel Gonzalez was born in Mamakating, and he married Elizabeth Cookendale of Mamakating. When Daniel was a boy, he was taken by the Indians. The Indians like to take the Gonzalez children. And he was 5 or 6 years old, and they took him. And he says he remembers they hadn't left too long, and they were playing in the woods, and they were building like a stone wall. And he remembers that, and they went off with the Indians. And 2 years later, when they wandered back here, he saw that stone wall. So he went, he knew where he was, and they trusted him, because now he was the son of a chief. So they trusted him, and he wandered off, and he came back to his parents. And he went on to fight in the Revolutionary War, and we have his stone in Stanton Cemetery. So, he, you know, he died of old age, too. And his wife was also a little hero. It seems that the Indians and the Tories came after this little boy. They were looking for him, and she put him under her skirt. And she stood there, and she said she didn't know where the little boy was. But one of the Tories named John Van Campden said he was going to take her clothes off because he was sure she was hiding that boy. And she said, for God's sakes, do the test, she said to him, and he got very upset and he left. So the little boy's life was spared. When they left, she let him out from underneath her skirts and he wasn't. These are good stories, right? Not only that, but Daniel Gonzalez went with El Nation Sears, and they went to Fort Montgomery, and they fought in the Revolutionary War. And they were there when the war, when Fort Montgomery was attacked. And Daniel escaped, and he ran away with another fellow who died on the way back, but he did get back to Wartsboro again. So he got back from the Indians, and he got back from the war. He did very well. The peaceful times in Mamakating came to an end with the French and Indian War from 1754 to 1763. The Indians became hostile, and a lot of encounters started to start again. The residents of Mamakating became very nervous about the situation, and some, like the Mastins and the Westbrooks, left their land and returned after the danger was over. I have here tonight a letter from Colonel Jacob Newkirk of the 2nd Ulster Militia to the Governor of New York, George Clinton, dated Walk Hill, August 6, 1779. He's asking the governor to please send men to the town of Mamakating because they're afraid of the hostile Indians. And the governor does not think they have anything to worry about. But we'll send orders on to Major Moses Phillips to send some men. The inhabitants had every reason to worry because on July 22nd, the Indians in Minisink under Joseph Brant had won a complete victory and 30 members escaped and wounded and were massacred. And again, we're very lucky. Here's the original letter. I mean, we are very lucky from that Curry collection. We have a lot of originals. I have behind Bob there, that's a typed copy of it, but you can look at this, just don't take it out of the plastic. And the governor answers on the back of the letter, like up with this margin. It's not a very official looking letter, but it is the original letter. And so they did, you know, send some soldiers here to protect them. In the early days before Stanton Cemetery, the early settlers buried their people in the orchard near the Devon's blockhouse. There's a story that an Indian had used this place for their burial grounds, and an Indian chief was placed in a sitting posture against a large pine which grew there, and he died singing his death song and was buried at the foot of the tree. This was supposed to have happened after the Gonzaleses came here. There are a few stones here, and Manuel Gonzalez is the stone of the first white settler that we just talked about. Soon after the Gonzaleses came here, they were joined, as I have explained in different stories, by the Helms, the Mastins, and more people came to the valley. In 1814, the population of Mamakating was 1,585 people. The first Menzel, Gonzalez Sr. and Jr. were gone almost 50 years when it became Sullivan County. They would be surprised today how their little quiet valleys changed, but probably more surprised that we still remember them and are here tonight to honor them. According to historical records, Johannes Hardenberg, a resident of Kingston, New York, purchased a large tract of land known as the Hardenberg Patent. This land and other patents known as the Minisink Patent were what is now most of Orange and Sullivan County. Do we have that map up, Charlie, where the... Right, like almost to the middle of the village.
The Minisink line is the
Hardenberg Patent. So it depended what side of Wurtsboro you lived on.
It is on that patent.
The land and almost patent known as the Minisink Patent that was now north of Orange in Sullivan County on December 17, 1743, a precinct was formed called Mamakating. Some say it was called Mamakating, part of Ulster County, Sullivan County. Was formed in 1809, and Mamakating is now in Sullivan County. The town of Mamakating was organized in March 7, 1788, and was the first township of Sullivan County. The first county seat was Bloomingburg, and that was incorporated in 1833. In 1788, Mamakating was reduced to its present size with the forming of Deer Park going to Orange County. Lumberland was formed away from Mamakating in 1788 and 1798 Thompson in 1803 and part of Forestburg in 1837. So we kind of shrunk down to what we have today. This is like only a touch of the information the town of Mamakating, and there's so much to our town. Bloomingburg, rich in history from the beginning. Somerville, Phillipsport, and Westbrookville, and the history of the D&H Canal and the railroad. And as I said, there was only a touch of our town in the beginning. If you'd like to know more about it, read the Sullivan County History of Quinlan. It's very interesting. And the Old Line Road by C.G. Home. And come and visit our museum and see the history of Mamakating. I won't give a speech when we're open. You all know that. I'd like to end this, and I don't want to end this, we can talk about it, but this is probably most of the history. But Washington Irving, in the company of Vice President Van Buren, visited our area. Soon after, he wrote a sketch in which he described what he saw in his ever-facial manner. The traveler who sets out in the morning from the beautiful village of Bloomingburg to pursue his journey westward soon finds himself by an easy ascent on the summit of the Shawangunk. Before him we will generally be spread an ocean of mist, enveloping and concealing from his view the deep valley of the lovely village of Wurzburg, which lies almost beneath its feet. If he reposes here for a short time, until the vapors are attenuated and broken by the rays of the morning sun, he is astonished to see the abyss before him deepening and opening his vision. At the length far down in the newly revealed region, the sharp white spear of a village church is seen piercing the incumbent cloud as the day advances. A village with its rains of brightly colored houses and animated streets is revealed to the admiring eye. So strange is the process of its development, and so much are the houses diminished by the depth of the ravine, that the traveler can scarcely believe he is not beholding the phantoms of a fairyland, and still ranging in those wonderful regions which are unlocked to the mind's eye by the wand of the god of dreams. But as he descends the western declivity of the mountain and the din of the real life rises to greet his ear, and he soon penetrates into the midst of the ancient settlement of which we now have spoken. And I think anybody that ever comes over that mountain and you see that beautiful mist laying there, my uncle used to say to me, the only place he ever saw it so beautiful like that was Switzerland. He said when he went to the Swiss Alps, you saw that, where the mist was always laying into the mountains. I'd like, I have copies of all the earlier deeds. If you want to look at this deed, and on the wall are all the deeds of the property that the Gonzalez's own. But I guess in my conclusion, and a lot of people feel it was not Manuel Gonzalez Sr. who was the first settler, it was Manuel Gonzalez Jr. Sr. never lived in the town of Mamakating, really. His son came here, stayed here, raised his family, and by 1850-something, there was no more Gonzalez's here. They had gone on into Pennsylvania and Ohio and upstate New York and
everywhere. Orange County.
Orange County. So, you know, they were the first settlers, but eventually they too soon left and, you know, new people came in. But I hope I've enlightened you a little bit on the Gonzalez's, and some of you know a little more than I do about where they came from, but it's always nice to learn more, because that's what we're all here for, to learn more and more history. And we keep adding to it every time we talk about it. So thank you so much for coming. Things that I have up here, the deeds and... But according to the wills of the two Gonzalez's, really, Manuel Sr., I think, died at Chrome Elbow over in Dutchess County, and his son died here. And it's funny because I think maybe the son might have died a little ahead of the father, maybe. Not by a lot of years.
I'd like to add to that, because sure, he had a brother living over there.
Yes, he did.
And, you know, they could have went back there and took the hit. The Indian uprising here. They
did. Well, maybe his wife, they said his wife really wasn't very happy about, you know, coming out. This was a wilderness. This was not like living in Marbletown or Kingston or anything. This was a wilderness out here, even though it was only up, you know, down the road a little bit. It still was pretty wild down here.
It's a long way, but
it
works.
Yes. In Irving. What is it? Is that his name?
He wrote the letter, after he gave
that a letter?
The Legend of Shawangunk.
That's what, really?
Yeah, is it the legend? No, it's the Legend of Mamakating.
A marvelous tale of Mamakating Hollow.
What is it?
It's called Hans Swartz, a Marvelous Tale of Mamakating Hollow.
Yes, no one realized that he had even written this, but it is in Quinlan's history book. So it's been recorded way back in the 1800s. Yeah.
Kelly?
Yes.
Did you relate this book? Did you mention the English translation of Manhattan?
You know, I've looked up three different ways, and they really, some say it means easy water, some say it means evil mountain. So I just think, and I looked in the sixth legend book, and it meant where the water flows, so it just has so many.
We found years ago when we researched it that it made little hills of smoke.
I've never seen that one, but that's another one we can add to it.
Richard Bacon died also.
Write that down.
Yeah, because I read the book on the Six Nations, and they don't mention that either.
Yeah.
I just think a lot of things are
guests. You refer to the fog, the master.
I could understand that.
Well,
I mean,
they let it be, supposed to be. But I have to see if the new carts have it still.
The other ones that we have.
I don't know where it is. They might have it.
No, I've never heard that one. I heard that it meant that evil. And then it goes with hill, evil hill, so that doesn't make it quite so bad. And then we heard it, the land of the waters.
Yeah.
And it's just like Bashakill. They say the Bashakill was named after Bessie's land, which meant it was Elizabeth Gonzalez. But then there's an Indian story that a man and his wife, he went hunting and he got a deer, and his wife, of course, you know, they had to carry that stuff back then. And she got into the swamp and she fell face first and she drowned it. So it means Bashakill.
Right.
So she got Bashakill. I mean, Bashakill. So then she got killed.
They probably would be Bashakill.
But you know what? Kill means
what? But then it would be skull.
But what? Bashakill. Yeah. But she fell and drowned it. So her name was Basha. She was an Indian princess. So they say. Or Indian, I'm sure she wasn't a princess carrying the deer. But they say that's what it meant. But we know kill means war.
Well, kill is Dutch. So it's unlikely that a Native American name would be associated with the Dutch.
I think there's so much history, it's a lot of myth. And it's a lot of coming down from, you know, generations. But it's fun. You start looking into it, and you get all different explanations. And
could I bring up something there about Samuel Gonzalez?
Oh, sure.
The allegation that he was a Tory and involved in a murder, if you read Quinlan's chapter on Mamikane carefully, he cast doubt on that story.
Because he was an official in the town.
It was unlikely that he would be an official at the same time running around in the woods.
We have to ask John's great cousin, because she's the one that said she looked through the window, and they said to her, did you ever see an Indian? And she said no. And they asked her, what was it? Leeds was her lits. And she said she looked in the window and Indians were having supper at his table. So she called him a Tory and said till the day she died.
Also, he had a long history of problems with the Indians up in Sam's Point Beach, forced to jump off of Sam's Point. I think Quinlan makes a pretty good argument that the story doesn't add up. So just in, you know, to give him the benefit of the doubt there, that he was never indicted for murder.
You know, what are you going to do? You read history books? And, yes, Jerry.
I'd like to personally thank you for all that research you did.
And,
you ever go to look at a gravestone and you see one date worn, the little dash in between? And when you do genealogy research, which I do, it's boring sometimes. But when you put all these stories together, factual or not, this put meat on those bones. It makes it exciting.
That's why I like cemeteries.
Yeah.
I say every stone is a chapter in history. If you read the history of El Nation Sears, that's in Stanton, and he was a revolutionary soldier, and he got captured, was put on a ship. He finally, they let him go. They were eating rats, straw, anything to keep alive. He came home, he became a big official in Ulster County, then he became an official in Sullivan County, and then when he was 80 years old and he just couldn't make ends meet, he took a train to Washington, and he asked them if they could up his pension a little. He couldn't make it, and they said no, things never change. He came home and he died from a broken heart, they say, because he had given his whole life service to his country, and his country wouldn't up his pension. So I do, I take stones, and then I start getting into the different families, or the little boy that fell off the canal boat, you know, and drowned between in the Neversink Basin. He was aqueduct, he was only 17, or the man that when they were doing the O&W and the rocks fell on top of him. And it's interesting going to in a cemetery and read some of the stones. They have a lot of their history on them. That's why we spend a lot of time in the cemetery.
They're not complaining.
Huh?
You've heard any of them?
No. Very nice place to have lunch. We're known to be seen from 209 sitting in our lawn chairs and stands eating lunch. That's it. They're very quiet, they don't bother you, and they love you to tend their grass. Mm-hmm. You know, and to know, and that's what history is all about, taking care of the people that came before us. And, and we hope our valley will always stay kind of the way we like to remember it to be. So I guess any other questions or?
Yeah, I don't quite understand the sequence of the town of Mamakating was the first township in Sullivan County.
Yes, but it,
and Sullivan, did it pre-exist Sullivan County as a township?
Yes, it was a town of Mamakating in Ulster County.
In Ulster County.
Yes, and then
so
it was
when Sullivan County split off, it was the sole organized or incorporated community within Sullivan County?
Yes, it was still the town of Mamakating. And matter of fact, Bloomingburg became the first county seat.
Yeah.
Before Monticello was even established. So this end of the county was really what there was when it became Sullivan County, because there was nothing established up above here at all as communities.
So it actually predated Sullivan County?
Yes, it did. Yes, it did.
It was also called precinct too before.
Yeah, it was a precinct too.
Precinct.
But this was like one of the first developed areas of this whole area was the town of Mamakating.
Thank you.
I'm gonna do a commercial for next Thursday.
Oh, okay. I'm gonna do a commercial for next Thursday. Next Thursday, the village of Wurtsboro and the town of Mamakating will be celebrating the bicentennial. We will have a walk at 4 o'clock on the D&H Canal, and the guy will be...
Gary Keaton.
He's going to do a talk on the D&H Canal. And then at 5 o'clock, they're going to be selling dinners. It's hot dog, a hamburger, chips, and a drink for $5 for adults, a hot dog, chips, and a drink for two for children. And then at 6 o'clock... I will start at 6:30, I think it is, I'm not quite sure. 6:30, I'll be on a hay wagon, and you're all welcome to join me, and you'll all be given books, and I'm gonna take you on a ride up the main street of Wurtsboro and show you what some of the homes look like before and in the 1800s and what they look like now. I'm gonna tell you a little history on some of the homes on the main street.
Are you gonna be in costume?
Definitely.
And it's going to be a luminary ride, because they're going to light luminaries as we go up. And there'll be as many rides, I guess, as we need to take people.
Ellen, where's the canal going?
Right at the kiosk. Everything will be at the kiosk. Right on Sullivan Street. We'll come up as far as 209, come back down, and go as far as the post office. And then I'll tell you history there of beyond there, because we can't take all the traffic pattern away, and they're going to close it off for an hour and a half. So, and then the swing shift, it's the swing shift band will play at 8 o'clock up at the park.
Memorial Park,
yeah.
Is it gazebo?
So it should be a nice day, and we're hoping for good weather. And you know, Friday night, they're going to have the parade of antique fire trucks in Wurtsboro, and they're going to have a band at the firehouse. And then on Saturday, of course, is the big day when they're going to have the big parade. And then there'll be floats for the bicentennial, will be at the end of the parade. So, and they're going to have fireworks at night on Saturday. So we should have.
Where are the fireworks? So
probably down Kaufman. We say Kaufman's Field. That's what it is. Kaufman's Field.
By the school.
Yeah, it'll always be Kaufman's Field. So it should be a nice couple of weeks.
If I might say, also, the Phillipsport Community Center, I believe, kicked off the celebration with a wonderful presentation a week ago from Sunday. So we got off to a good start, and we are going to continue to, I won't say get better, because that was very good, continue to be good. So.
Yes.
Yes, and the village of Bloomingburg, and I think too. Also, there was a whole lot of stuff already down here. So we're all doing well, and we'll remember the bicentennial. So and please come for any of those 3 days.
Don't forget, the tricentennial is going to be even better. And if you keep your program, you're on the back four.
You get a free ride on the float in the tricentennial.
Yeah.
If it snows that summer.
We'll never know, will we? We won't tell. I hope that I enlightened you a little bit about Gonzales and the, you know, how the town started. And there were a lot of people. There were the Helmses and the Mastins and the Alcotts. I mean, they all had a part in bringing, you know, the town of Mamakating and the Dorrances over in Bloomingburg. Captain Dorrance, he was the first settler over there, right?
We say Newkirk.
Newkirk, okay.
Yeah, Newkirk. Yeah, there's a sign there. There's a, what do you call it, from the state, that Newkirk, in Bloomingburg.
Okay.
Wasn't there a line of forts, too, that went north and south? There was Fort Devon, there was
Fort Devon, Westbrookville.
And then there was Fort Decker.
Fort Decker, yes.
And these weren't, I don't know, these were basically stone houses. Right?
Yes, they were.
Yeah. Now, what was the one north of here, then, in that chain of forts?
I don't know. What
was it? Broadhead's house.
Broadhead's house?
Yeah, went towards Ellenville. It was a big stone house up there. You ever see it? Broadhead?
Yeah.
That's his house, where they called the equestrians.
Yeah.
The house just before the equestrians.
Oh, yeah. That's right. That's the forum where they had the,
right.
Yeah, just before the horse exhibit.
Well, they say that a man named Bevere, he was the father-in-law of one of the Gonzaleses. He built a big stone house here in Wurtsboro, and it was called the Stanton House. But I really don't know where the Stanton... John, do you ever know, they said it was a very... It was built for not only a home, but for a fort. So, I know that I think in the Revolutionary War, didn't the Westbrooks go over the mountain and stay, and they left their home, and that became Fort Westbrook, and then they came back after the war.
And I think they were Bevere's name.
Bevere. 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 That's
well, Bevere, and then they say Bevere, kind of like the Dubuques. Yeah. You know.
They were French, though.
Yeah.
Yes, but there's up in Marbletown, there's a house there. Yes, there is. I stopped and saw it. Yeah. A lot of history along this valley. A lot of danger, but a lot of history, and, you know, very interesting. Yeah,
but I think the important thing to remember is that this is almost seminal. And from the history of this valley and the deeds that were done, the country went on to develop, become the great country it is, and literally become the greatest country in the world.
That's right.
But yet the roots are here. Right. Which goes to prove pretty good stuff.
That's
very cool.
That's what makes it.
It's right here.
Helene, do you know anything about when they were making shovel handles all the way up to Sullivan County?
No, I've never heard of that. Did you, John? Because he's with Sullivan. Shovel handles?
During the Civil War? Anything about shovel handles? No. I was trying to figure out if that was a...
That friend of ours that we had done it, John, said that they had a shovel handle factory of some sort where they literally made the handles. Up in Liberty or up that
somewhere
way?
Somewhere way up in Sullivan County.
I know they made
that. You haven't heard any of that.
No. For the Civil War.
No, I don't.
Never heard that?
I never heard that.
Ellenville had it. They made brooms and the stuff they had in Ellenville, and they made baseball bats and released them at.
Yeah, I was going to say, I bought my son one of those baseball bats. Lasted 3 weeks.
The last lot, last yards.
Yeah, they had it. Hazards in that amount.
This whole area of New York, from the Hudson Valley right on through to Pennsylvania, is so much of the history of the beginning of this country. It's wonderful. Yes.
In a lot of the people that were kidnapped by the Indians, some of them
stayed and did refuse to come
oh,
back.
Oh, yeah.
But that didn't happen here.
No, I guess the Gonzalez's went after her. Well, they came home. Well, the daughter they went after. 20 years they said she was with them. Mm-hmm. And then the son came home. So I really, you know. They had a lot of Indian experiences.
Right.
That's why, like you said, would they be so quick to side with the Indians? But I think it were different Indians, too.
Yeah, because there were a lot of the ones out in the West that the people refused to come back to society. They converted the natives to what they saw around.
Well, I guess they had no choice, really. They better accept it.
They did. They did. There was a lot of, there was a whole genre of diaries of people who had been kidnapped and their life stories at one time. The whole genre of literature in America.
Oh.
About those who refuse to go back.
You know, I often wonder how people of today would fare back in those days. Especially our younger generation.
They
like television, board games, you know, blah, blah, blah. I wonder how they could make it.
No, they can't.
I tell my kids in school that when I was a child, we had no computers, and TV was a new thing, and they look at me like I have two heads.
Oh.
They, you know, I don't know.
I'm not sure we would have made it.
I think you played a hand to Dell.
I remember when we
used a lot, you know.
Yeah,
okay. So
when we were younger, my brother came home and he said he had to do a program on Abraham Lincoln. And my father said, "Oh, I can help you. I knew Abe well. I split rails with him on the railroad." And he's going on and on with my brother. And my brother takes him into school. And my brother's teacher went to school with my father. So my father was chief of police. He called the police. He said, "Charlie, I think you better come up to school right now. I really need to see you." So my father walks in, and Miss Cunningham says to the class, "Now everybody, Chuck is going to read his story to his father." And he knows all the story how my father split rails with Abraham Lincoln. They want to make kids like that. So be careful what you tell your kids.
Did you get an A on the
project? Yeah, you got an A. He embarrassed my father pretty good.
When her brother went in the Navy, her father says to Chuck, "Now, when I was in the Navy, we had iron men and wooden ships."
Now you have iron ships and wooden men. And you can always tell the married man he's the first one off the gangplank. But yeah, I think it's, you know, every generation changes and we change with it. So that's what's made us where we are today. Or we'd still be back living in Indian teepees if we didn't change with what's going on in the world.
To answer Charlie's question, what we did back in those days. We went fishing, we went hunting. We had a good time.
Yeah, I would challenge someone from the 18th century to log onto the internet.
That's great.
And see if they can figure that out.
Okay,
that's
what you're
about. Right?
Oh, my goodness. I say that's why we don't live so long. We could go on for generations. The changes, it boggles our minds. It does. You can't, you know, after a certain age, you look at what we've seen since we're kids from television. Well, I don't know about you, but our generation, from television to what there is today, and it's like, you know, God bless computers and cell phones. I love them. I have nothing against them.
You know, on the Today Show, the man that announces the birthdays of the
100-year-old
Bill Scott.
Yeah.
Well, he announced the birthday of a woman over 100 today, and he always gives a little comment about them, what they like to do, and this particular woman said that the best thing she thought about what had occurred over her lifetime was the light bulb. The invention of the light bulb. That was like the most fantastic thing had changed her life from then on.
Just think about that. Yeah. Well, we have tea, coffee, and cake if you would like to have some, if no one has anything else to that they'd like to ask. I'm not so knowledgeable, but.
Excellent. We'll get you next week on the wagon. We're going to shoot flaming arrows at her. The real thing.